different blessings. And one of the main kinds of blessings is the blessings that are prayers. So that we said different kinds of blessings. Normally we thank God for things that we get. We thank God for pleasures. It's called Birkata Nehenin, blessings on pleasures, which are blessings on food, usually drinks. So when we have food, you eat food, you drink, so liquids, a person has to say a blessing. Then we talked about blessings of praise. A person sees wondrous sights. You see Niagara Falls, you see the Grand Canyon, you see the sea, you see the ocean. A person's got to say a bracha. Now we come to the third category of blessing, which is what we normally think about in our association with God, is petitions. We ask God for different things. Most people, when they think about prayers and think about blessings, that's what they think about. They always think about, what can I get out of God? So, it's interesting, people's concept of God is like a celestial butler. I need something, got an address. It's a great idea, because what do people do when they don't have? And the answer is, at least you have God. Baruch Hashem. Thank God for God. So God is it's not just the last resort, it's also the first resort. As people don't realize, God is not the last resort, God is the first resort. But obviously a person's got to try their best as well. So there's a balance over here in what's called Hishtadlut. Hishtadlut means a person's got to try their best, and then you go to God. A person should say, you know, Hashem, give me the strength to be able to do it myself. And if I can't do it myself, then who else do I turn to? I turn to God. That's it. But the first thing we ask for is the ability to do what we can. A person's got to ask God for the ability. We always have to pray to God for the ability. And after the ability comes, you try your best, you can't do it, go back to God. So there's two real petitions to God. One petition to God is, keep us healthy. Keep us vibrant. Keep us successful. And the second petition is, Hashem, I can't do it. I tried. I can't do it. I need your help. So that's two different kinds of petitions, but they're petitions. And these are all the blessings in the Shmona Esrei. When we pray the Shmona Esrei, when we're standing up and we're praying the Amidah, those blessings are the ones which we mention, the 13 middle blessings are the blessings of petition. So the Shmona Esrei is a package deal. It's a sandwich. The first three blessings are blessings of praise. The last three blessings are blessings of thanks. The middle blessings, the 13 middle ones, are blessings of petition. And those are the blessings we say during the week. On Shabbat, there's only three blessings at the beginning, praise. There's three blessings at the end, thanks. And there's only one blessing in the middle. It's a very short form. The Shmona Esrei on Shabbat, Amidah on Shabbat, is very short. It's short and sweet, hopefully. And even though the prayers take so long, but really it's not the Shmona Esrei which is taking so long. It's the Torah reading and other things. Plus we pray twice, Shacharit and Musaf, and just the once. So, this is the third category of blessing, which is blessings of petition. And we request things from God. And these blessings require a special focus, a particular way of concentrating. And that's what people don't realize. A person has to concentrate in a separate way. It's very, very hard for modern man to focus, because our minds are just wandering around all over the place. And you can see, even when you're listening to someone talk, your minds are wandering. Even when a person's talking, sometimes their minds are wandering. It's amazing. Our minds wander around. We can't focus. We know today in schools, ADD, ADHD, the kids can't focus. Why can't they focus? There's a mixture of different reasons. And the answer is because there's so many things going on today. In those days, a person lived in a village. There was nothing going on. There was no media. There was no radio. There was no TV. There was no comedy. There was no comics. There was no cartoons. So, just sit down over there. Calmly sit and think. There's nothing else to think about. There's nothing on a person's mind. He thinks about the weather. He thinks about the chickens and the eggs and the nests. I don't know what. The cows, and that's it. So they never had much to think about. They never had any distractions. In those days, they never had distractions. Today's day and age, we are full of distractions. Just walk down the street, you'll see cars whizzing by you, there's bicycles, there's people, there's stores, and there's too many things going on. So our minds are not used to focusing. That's our biggest problem today. We see in kids especially, today it's worse, because now you have the iPad and the iPhone, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and there's so many things going on, people cannot concentrate, they cannot focus. So what we do is we multitask. We get used to multitasking. And part of the multitasking is the brain is working on 50 things at the same time. Which is the problem when in our relationships. That's why our relationships are rocky today. All relationships are rocky today. Why? Because he's thinking about this, and he's in his computer, and she's in her computer. I know a case in my school. One of the teachers, she was very drastic. She threw out her husband. Why? He was always on his computer. And she really resented it. Right? She wants to talk to him, he's on his computer. She wants to do this, on his computer. So she threw him out of the house. I think it's a bit drastic. Just drastic. I think it was too drastic, and it's not nice. Because she's a young girl. She's a young girl, and she has children. So it's not nice at all. I don't think it's a good move. But it just shows that people today are desperate for attention. And you can't get attention today because the electronics takes the attention. And the mind is going crazy. Mind is thinking about this, that, the other. So the Talmud says that we have to focus during our prayers. Very, very important focus. How does one focus? And the answer is, the Talmud says, don't stare at anything. That's why the best place to pray is facing a wall. That's why the rabbis and the important people sit the western on the eastern wall. Why? Because the way you turn and you face the wall and pray, there's no distractions. The idea is there's no distractions. If you have no wall, what do you do? You stare at the sitter. Put the book over here and stare at the sitter. That's like facing a wall. You're focusing on the sitter. If there's no sitter, what do you do? So here the Talmud says, you should direct one's gaze downwards. Look down, because nothing going on down. If you look around, there's plenty of things going on. But let's look down, and one's heart should face upwards. What do you mean the heart should face upwards? A heart should be facing towards God. So a person should minimize the physical distractions and focus upwards on the spiritual. So that's a very important idea. Minimize the physical distractions when a person prays. Minimize the physical distractions and face upwards. Now it's interesting because one of the halachot about a synagogue is a synagogue needs windows. We need skylights. There's not enough skylights. We need 12 windows in a synagogue. Halakha, interesting halakha. There should be 12 windows in a synagogue. Corresponds to the 12 tribes. But the windows should not be on street level. They should be upwards. Why? Interesting halakha, when it says when a person loses their focus, they should be able to see the sky. When you see the sky, you remember God. There's something above me. When you're claustrophobic in a room, you don't really think about God because you don't see. You don't see anything natural. You see all the artificial lighting, and you see the books, and you see this, and you don't see anything God made. You need to see something God made to think about God. So it's very important to have a skylight or a window facing upwards. And I think my personal view is I don't like colored glass windows because they defeat the purpose. The whole purpose of the window is to look at the outside of the sky and see God. But here you're seeing pictures instead of seeing God. So if I was the rabbi at that time, I would say, don't do it. But I wasn't. So I had no choice. So a person should look downwards to minimize the physical distractions. But one's heart should be upwards. One's heart should be focused on Hashem. One's heart should be focused on Hashem. So what does that mean? Heart upwards. So here the Rif, one of the commentaries on the Talmud, explains a person should imagine that they are standing in heaven. How are you going to... I can't even imagine it. It's very hard to imagine. How do you envision heaven? How can you envision that you're standing in heaven? How can a person even think about it? What does that mean? In modern day parlance would be, you're standing in God's office. I can't imagine. God, office. I mean, I have no idea what's going on. It's very hard to imagine these things. But in other words, a person's got to imagine that they're having a personal conversation with God. When you're praying, you're having a personal conversation with God, and God is the boss. He's the boss of the universe. God is all-powerful. It's amazing what God can do. So a person, we've got to realize, if you want to ask someone for a favor, there's no one better to ask than the all-powerful. Because for him, a favor is nothing. I love. Nothing. It's really nothing. Hashem, help us. So that's really what we did. The whole story of Passover is really about this idea that God can do anything he wants. The fact that God could take us out of Egypt, you know, from a very powerful king with an almighty army, and no one can even mess around with him. And here, God just 10 plagues and he's out. We're out. So that's really the message of Pesach, is the ability of God. God's ability is amazing. We have no concept of the ability of God. Who better to ask a favor from than God? Imagine. And here a person has an opportunity to talk to a God privately. Imagine, a person has a private appointment with the king. It's not like the king today, it's not like the president today who has no power. He just has to go, you know. He has power, actually. He has, what does he do? He signs these presidential,
executive orders.
Which this president's been using left and right. Executive orders. You can bypass Congress. You can sign an executive order. So it's challenged by the High Court. Take him to the Supreme Court. Challenge him. So the president has power. So can you imagine Hashem's power? Doesn't need executive order. He is the boss. He just does everything. So that's what it means. A person should eyes downwards. What does this mean? Eyes down refers to an additional objective. After climbing to the heavens, what should imagine? One is standing on earth. Humble oneself. That's what it means, eyes down. Eyes down means a person's going to be humble. When standing before God, one should pray humbly. One should pray humbly. One should think, who am I? Who am I? What am I in front of God? I'm a zero. Hashem, please answer my prayers. You're the one who has the power. I have no power. That's a very beautiful idea. The idea, number one, is to focus. And that's the biggest challenge for modern man. How do you focus your brains? Because now I have an appointment with this most important person, Hashem. I've got a very, very important appointment. Most people don't even think about his appointment. That's why people come too late to shul. People come late to shul. Imagine you have an appointment with God. You come late to the appointment. People don't realize how God is angry. How much you anger God by coming late to shul. People don't realize. If they would, they would come late. Imagine, but just think, I have an appointment with God. The time the shul starts is my appointment with God. Now for women, it's a little bit different. They can come when the Shemoneh Esrei starts. That's the appointment. The appointment is when the Shemoneh Esrei starts. So the Shemoneh Esrei starts around 9:45 on the Shabbat morning. Come 9:45, come for the Shemoneh Esrei, come a few minutes early, prepare yourself. You don't just walk into the king's office. You have to prepare yourself to greet the king. So it's very important. The person has to greet the king. And they have to prepare themselves to greet the king. But it's like an appointment with God. A person has to realize when they pray, it's an appointment with God. And a person shouldn't come to the appointment late. What is the best time to pray? The Talmud says, even if you don't pray at synagogue, you should pray at the same time the community is praying. I don't know what the latest minyan in Highland Park is in the mornings, 10, 8:30, something like that. So a person should try and pray around the same time there's a minyan in town praying. That's the best time to pray. So when a person prays, they have to realize it, who they're talking to. They're talking to the Almighty. And even then, our minds we cannot control. That's the trouble. The hardest part of prayer is controlling the mind. Focusing the mind. Rabbi Yehuda Levi says, the times of prayer should be the heart of one's day. So just like we eat three times a day, sustain our bodies. So too, there's three spiritual meals. What are the three spiritual meals? Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. Three spiritual meals, Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit, which stands for Shema. Shema is Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. Shin, Mem, Ayin, Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. Ashkenaz is the same, Mariv, which takes out, ruins the whole Shema thing. So that's the Svarim, we say Shema, Shacharit, Mincha, Arvit. So just like the three meals we eat, sustain our physical needs, so the three spiritual meals, which are the prayers, nourish us spiritually and keep us going throughout the day. So we have to realize we're not just bodies, we're also souls. Each one of us is a body and a soul. And that's the part that people forget. You can't see a soul. So a person forgets about the soul. You know, so many people today with depression and all sorts of things. Why? Because they don't nourish their souls. The soul is not nourished. So soul, especially Jews, because they have a soul, bigger soul. The soul feels depressed. The soul feels unhappy. So the guy gets depressed. Why are you depressed? I don't know. I can't figure it out. I have a nice house. I have a nice family. A nice car. I go to the mall. I buy all these nice things. I'm still not happy. Why aren't you happy? Because physically you're happy, but spiritually you're not happy. The soul is missing something. The soul also needs spiritual nourishment. We don't realize that. But if, say, okay, if your person's used to praying every day, try going for a day or two. I'm not saying it's a good idea. Try going for a day or two without praying. Happened to me. My father passed away, unfortunately. There's an interesting halakha that says, when a relative passes away, within, before the peril, you're not allowed to do mitzvah. You have to keep all the negative commandments, but you can't do the positive. Which means you're not allowed to pray. Very weird. You're not allowed to say a blessing on food. Why? Because you have an obligation of burial. And when you have an obligation to a positive commandment, nothing else isn't allowed to be done. You have to focus on that mitzvah. That mitzvah's overriding takes priority of burial. So you're patur from all the other mitzvah. No obligation to pray, no obligation to wait to fill in. It was the strangest day of my life. Luckily, it lasted a few hours. But it's strange. Why? Can't pray. I'm eating bread. No blessing before, no blessing after. It's so weird. It's very weird. We take it for granted. When we do without it, we miss it. We can't do without it. It's like a drug. We can't do without it. If you pray every day and you stop, it's like the world is not the same. The life is not the same. You know, we're so used to it. We take it for granted. And people don't appreciate it enough. We have to appreciate it. There's a rabbi in Israel who's very famous. And he wrote a column. He says, you know, maybe one day I should walk around without a kippah. I said, why? I got so used to it, I forgot the significance and I forgot what it reminds me of. So maybe I should take it off. Then he says, but I'm a grandfather. Imagine what my grandchildren are going to think when they see me walking around without a kippah. How am I going to educate my children, my grandchildren? The thing is, the trouble is we do it every day and we take it for granted and then we forget about it. That's the trouble. And that's the hard part. So we put praise every day. They get so used to praying every day, they take for granted and they don't focus. They stop focusing. It's very hard. So prayer is a skillful art. You have to realize. Prayer is a very skillful art which takes practice and it takes training. So what we do, we train the children to pray. But the hardest part of the prayer is focusing. Is one's mind. Our mind moves around. How do you catch your mind? How do you focus your mind? How do you stop your mind from moving around? So I found a very easy way is putting your finger on the place. Point with your finger to the word by word by word by word, and you'll see that your eyes follow your finger. It's very interesting. And that's why when you read the Torah, there's a pointer. And that pointer helps the person focus. Why is there a pointer? Because the rabbis realized in their wisdom, when you have a pointer, it's much harder to lose the place. I remember my father would put me, sit next to me in the shul, put his arm around me, and say, point! Put your finger on the words. And that's how I learned how to pray. Right, so next to my father. Point, 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 point. And that's the best way to focus. So it's very, very important to think, how do I focus on my prayers? So people pray. The truth is everyone prays. People don't admit it, but they pray. Person's crossing the road, the car comes. Hashem, save me, please, God save me. That's just prayed. Just prayed. The guy is in a rush, and he gets a parking spot on time. Oh, thank you, God. Just prayed. People don't realize, but most people pray without even thinking. That's a prayer. What is a prayer? You said, please. You said, thank you. It's a prayer. You need something, and you pray. That's a prayer. We didn't hinder the formal prayer, but it's informal prayer. It says, before the leaders of the great assembly, there were no formal prayers. People don't realize that. In Judaism, there's no formal prayers. The Torah does not specify what to say. It says, you will eat, you'll be satisfied, and you'll bless. How will I bless? There's no blessing. It says, Moses wrote the first paragraph. Joshua wrote the second paragraph. King David wrote the third paragraph. Eventually, we got a format. But before the format of formal prayer, people prayed informally. It says, we said in the reading of the Exodus, it says, and people cried to God. What did they cry? We don't know what the cries were. The cries were, save us from this Pharaoh. Right? Well, they cry. There's no formal prayer. Nothing was written down. You can invent prayers. The trouble is the rabbis saw that if you leave people to invent their own prayers, either they're going to pray for the wrong thing, or they're just going to pray two prayers. They're going to say, pray for health, and they're going to pray for money. That's it. And they're going to stop there. Most people, what do they care about? Most people care about health, and they care about money. You leave it to people's devices, the only prayers they'll say is, Hashem, give me lots of money, and give me good health. That's it. And they only pray for health when they're sick. They won't pray for help when they're healthy. So what we need, urgent needs, that's what people pray for. If it's not urgent need, they won't pray. Very simple. So that's why the rabbi said, you know what? We don't realize, but there's other things we should be praying for as well. Prayer is not about being selfish. Prayer is about being generous. And that's a very important idea. Successful prayer has to be a generous prayer. What does that mean? If you need something, pray for someone else who needs it. Because if you just pray for yourself, your Hashem says, you're a selfish kind of guy. I don't like you. So Hashem likes generous people. So we pray, all our prayers are in the plural. All the prayers are in the plural. Look at the Shemona Esrei, everything's in the plural. Refa'enu Hashem. Help, give us health. It just doesn't say refa'eni. It doesn't say give me health. It says give us health. Barachenu Hashem. Bless us Hashem with money. I say bless me, bless us. Everything's in the plural. And that's something which the rabbis instituted. Because if you leave a person to their own devices, it's just me, 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 me. Hashem says no. The rabbi said no, that's not what God wants. God wants us to pray as a plurality. And we're not only praying for ourselves, we're praying for the whole Jewish people. We're praying for the Jewish needs, which we don't even realize what the Jewish needs are. We're praying for Mashiach every day. We want the seed of David to come back. We want the king to come back. We want the Mashiach to come back. We're praying for the temple to be reinstituted. We're praying for the rebuilding of Jerusalem. We're praying for the ingathering of the exiles. These things a person would not pray for in a general way, unless it's written down. So rabbis instituted prayers. Why did they write down the prayers? Because they knew if you leave a person to their own devices, their prayers will be selfish. And their prayers will be two things. Only if I need health, I pray for health. If I need wealth, I pray for wealth. Most people just pray for that. They don't even pray for their own sin, children. We have to pray for our children. We don't really realize we have to pray for our success of our children. Oh, God. Having children is one of the most exhausting things. Because it never ends. Because wherever they are in the world, you always think about them. And you're associated with them. Because your children are you. You don't realize. A person's child is 50% theirs. Their grandchild is 25% theirs. Their great-grandchild is 8% theirs. Eighth. It just keeps on splitting. You know. Your child is 50% you, 50% your spouse. And the grandchild is 25% you and the other parents. So you're invested in that child. That's what you feel the investments. And that bothers people because you feel invested and you feel like, I care about the person. I'm invested in that person. That child is walking around, it's part of me. Literally, part of my DNA. A quarter of me. So that's, we have to realize how much we pray for children. There was a rabbi in Israel, his name was Rabbi Toledano. He was an old man already. And he prayed about 6 hours a day, he would pray. I said, why are you praying so much? He said, I'm praying for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. I've got to keep praying. He had a lot of grandchildren. Thank God he had a lot of children, grandchildren. So for each one he would spend, I don't know, half an hour each for each one, individually. Praying for this one, they should be successful spiritually, should be successful physically. We don't know how much success we have is based on our parents and grandparents' prayers. If they pray properly. A lot of you see today, a lot of people become religious. Well, what happened to them? And the answer is their grandparents, their great-grandparents, the merits standing for them.
I have a friend in Lakewood. She's from Iran. She does the whole Tehillim every day.
Oh,
2 hours.
Amazing.
She says Hashem gives me 24 hours a day, 2 hours a day.
Very nice. Very nice. Very nice. It's amazing. Because we don't realize when we're praying, we're not just praying, we're also creating spiritual entities. We don't realize when we're praying, every time we pray, every time we say Amen, every time we answer a blessing, we're creating spiritual entities. One day we'll go up there and we'll see all these angels we created. Oh, I can't wait. Fantastic. See all the angels. Just make sure they're good, healthy angels, strong angels. That's only if the concentration was right. Then you'll see all the different levels of concentration. So prayer is a skillful art. And it's so hard. It's so hard to pray with concentration. It's so hard to keep that concentration. It's easy to go pray, and it's over. And all the time the guy was dreaming, happens so usual. But it's hard to really pray with the mind. So, remember this analogy when I was a kid. I got this analogy when I first went to yeshiva when I was 18 years old. And the rabbi there was very, very fine. Rabbi Baruch Horowitz, still going strong. Amazing. And I don't know if you remember the winding watches. Remember those winding watches? So he gave this analogy. He says, why do you still have to pray even though you're praying by rote and you're not focusing? Why is it always good to pray even though you're not into it? Every person should say, you know, today my mind's not into it, I'm going to skip today. No, pray as well. Even though your mind's not into it, you still have to pray. Why? So he says, I'll give you the analogy. It's two people were lost on a desert island. Two guys waiting over there to be picked up for someone to spot them, to relieve them. And they both have these winding watches. So the guy said, listen, I don't know the exact time. I'm not going to wind my watch. What's the point? The other guy said, I don't know what exact time is anyway, but I'm going to still wind the watch. So he religiously every day would wind the watch, even though he didn't know the exact time. Says when they were saved, the guy wound his watch every day, still worked. The guy didn't wind his watch, became rusty and wouldn't work. So he says, by the act of praying, even though your mind is not in there, at least you'll know what to say when your mind will be there one day. When you really need to pray, you'll know how to do it. If a person doesn't pray, one of the worst experiences I had, I was in hospital visiting someone. And the nurse said, Rabbi, we need you. There's a Jewish child, he's dying. Come say some prayers. I went there. It was a horrible, horrible experience. Such a beautiful boy. I don't know what's wrong. I don't know nothing. They didn't tell me. No background information. I went there and I said some prayers for the kid. And the parents are looking at me and says, what is he doing? And the nurse says, the rabbi is saying prayers. They had no concept of what a prayer was. They had no concept what it means to pray. And that is the problem. If you stop winding that watch, when you're going to be saved, the person doesn't have any idea how to pray. So it's good to pray even though you have no idea what's going on, because when you pray, at least you'll know. One day when the spark is ignited, the person will pray with kavana, with concentration. So how do we pray? So prayer is a skillful art. Needs practice and training. We have to realize, before we pray, who we're talking to. We have to realize we have an appointment with God. And God, let's go really think about it. It's very hard to imagine God. But if you look at pictures, what I do is I try and look at pictures of the universe. Look at pictures. Today there's so many pictures. What's that telescope? You put the telescope in outer space.
Hubble?
Hubble telescope. Look at the pictures from the Hubble telescope. It blows the mind. I mean, the pictures of the stars. Pictures of the galaxies. Say, wow. Look, we're just a little dot over here in this Milky Way. We're a little dot. Earth is a little, you can't even see the Earth. You see a little sun. The sun's a little tiny star. You think about the vastness of space. You think of the vastness of God. The mind blows. The vastness of Hashem. Who are we in this little vast plan of Hashem? And yet we can make an appointment with God. That's amazing. That's mind blowing. We're so small and he's so big. We can appointment with God. We have to make the best use of that appointment. We make an appointment with God, we have to make the best use of that appointment. Before we begin praying the Shmona Esrei, we say one line which is not part of the Shmona Esrei. Hashem, you, Hashem, open my lips. Hashem, you, O Hashem, open my lips. Ufi yagitratecha, enable my mouth to declare your praise. In other words, we ask God, before we pray, we say, Hashem, you help me to pray. I need your help to pray. I can't pray. I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to talk to you. I have no idea how to talk to you. So before we even start praying, we ask for God's help to pray. That's a sign of humility. That's what God wants. God wants humility. My father was very good. He was a missionary. My father was a classic missionary. What does that mean? Whoever he had a conversation with, he would bring God up in the conversation. So we had a guy who was a builder. He would come and, you know, fix parts of a house, painting, whatever you want, fix different things. And he did a lot of work for my family. House was very run down. So he did a lot of work. And my father started talking to him, his usual conversation over a cup of tea. Come on, have a cup of tea. And he starts conversing. And here, this man is a son of Holocaust survivors. But he believed in zero. So my father's, you know, talking to him. So don't you believe in spirits? So the only spirit I believe in is a spirit in a bottle. That was his comment. So there's people around don't believe in God. Unfortunately, it's tragic. It's tragic. It's a tragedy. His whole family's lost. I don't know what happened. The whole family intermarried, assimilated. I don't know what happened in the end. Maybe something came back. I don't know. And one daughter, she was gone. I don't know. I don't know what happened to the grandchildren. I have no idea. But we have to, a lot of people don't know how to pray. So what we do is, before you pray even, number one is we believe. We pray because we believe that there is a higher authority and God has the power to help. And that's really what Pesach is all about. God has the power to help. God was the one who saved us from Egypt. He can save us from our personal problems. If God could save a whole entire nation of 2 million people from Egypt, He can save me, my personal problems. Hashem, help us from all our personal problems. And so we ask God to help us open our lips, open our mouths, provide us with the physical abilities, health, and power by which to pray. What do we want to do? We want to relate your praise. Ufi yagit ratecha, my mouth will relate your praise, God. So we should have the sense to appreciate God and praise Him wholeheartedly, because the first three blessings of the Shmona Esrei are purely praise. We're praising God. And we're talking about God's power. Tagibor, your mighty Hashem. We have to talk about it more in detail. We'll talk more about it in detail, but it's a very important idea, the idea of being humble enough, asking God for His help to pray. It's very hard to pray to God, and very hard to relate to God. So I think it's very important to see these pictures of the universe, to get an idea of the greatness of God, the vastness of God. And we also get an idea of the humility that we should have, because we don't really realize, we think we're so great, we think we're fantastic, you know. There's one of the comedians, he had a line, he says, when GE comes out with a new fridge, they say, look at the fantastic invention, the best invention ever. Yeah, self-cleaning oven, look at this oven, self-cleaning, look at the fantastic invention. And General Motors makes a new motor car, they say, look at this, there's never been a motor car like this, it's the most fantastic invention. And give me another company. I know, some other company comes along, huh?
LG
comes along, they make this washing machine, it's the best washing machine ever in the world. So what happens, a few years later, the fridge doesn't work, the car breaks down, the washing machine doesn't work, but the rabbits are still hopping, and the trees are still growing. We see the difference in God's creation and man's creation. That's the humility that we have to have. It's a big difference between man and God, right? Man makes a creation, it can't heal itself. It can't have children. You never see cars heal themselves. You don't see cars having little cars. And people, Hashem's creations, the animals can have children. An animal gets sick, it heals itself. So it's amazing. Look at God's creation. We can regenerate, and man's creation cannot regenerate. It's a big difference. And man thinks, puny man thinks we're so great. We're nothing. So a person needs that humility before they pray. We need the humility before we pray. And that's why the sign of humility is we ask God to help us to pray. We can't be more humble than that. Hashem, I can't even pray without your help. You have to help me pray. We want to recite God's praise. We want to recite God's praise. And we said there's 100 blessings a day. A person should say 100 blessings a day. It's a lot of blessings. And we said the different blessings, let's just recap. The different kinds of blessings. Number one, there's a blessing which is a blessing on pleasure. Blessings on pleasure. Birkat ha-nehenin. Blessings on food, before you eat the food, after you eat food. Blessings on smell. If you did Havdalah last night, right? Besamim, smell the fragrance. Fragrance, say a bracha. Borei. There's so many different kinds of blessings. Depends on what kind of smell it is. Amazing. How the blessing has to be specific. The more specific the blessing is, the better the thank you it is. Right? If you do me a favor and I say, thanks for everything, it's not a very specific thank you. But if I say, thank you for the favor you did me, I tell you about the favor, that's very specific and that's very, very important. The more general the thank you, not as worth as much as a specific thank you. Thank you for everything. Very broad. Thanks for everything. But it's not specific. What was the thing I gave you? What was the thing I helped you? So our blessings have to be specific. It's interesting because blessings on smell, something the rabbis really went into intricacies. If it grows on the ground, it's like a grass. You see a bracha on the smell of the grass. If it grows on a tree, thank you God for creating fragrant trees. If it, you don't know where it grows from, you smell perfume, it's amazing how they were intricate. The blessing has to be exact, fitting the thing. And same thing with food. It grows on the ground, it grows on the tree. Doesn't grow from the ground or tree, it's shakol. Different blessings. If it's a kind of sustenance, bari min maznot. If it's bread, it's hamotzi. And if it's a vine, it's bari per geffen. Different kinds of blessings to fit. It's got to fit like a glove. The blessing has to fit like a glove. It's got to be something specific. So those are blessings on pleasure. They're blessings on pleasure. We thank God for pleasures. It's amazing that God gave us the ability to sense. The five senses. God gave us the ability to sense things. We take for granted. I can see. Oh, you can see. There are blessings on sight. You know that? Blessings on sight. We said, if you see Niagara Falls, Osei Maaseh Bereshit, you see the Grand Canyon, Osei Maaseh Bereshit, you see the sea, you haven't seen the ocean for 30 days. There's a blessing to be said. Osei Maaseh Bereshit. The blessings on sight. If you see a place where a miracle happened to you, there's a blessing to be said. Some people have car accidents, bar minan. And the police come and they say, it's a miracle. How do you get out of this car? You come out without a scratch. It's a miracle. Oh, it's a miracle? Thank you for telling me. Now I can say this blessing. There's a blessing to be said. Every time you see a place where a miracle happened to you, after 30 days you haven't been there, you can say a bracha. So the blessings on sight. There's blessings on hearing. Person hears good news. Right? Person had a baby, whatever. Shechianu, v'kiyamanu. Hatov ha-metiv. There's blessings are good news. There's blessings are bad news. We don't hear bad news. Someone relative passed away. Dayan ha-emet. There's a blessing. So there's blessings on hearing. A blessing on hearing. There's a blessing on smell, we said. On fragrances, different fragrances. Blessings on touch. I'll need to let you die. Wash your hands. Feel the water. People can't feel, so people can't feel. You feel the water. It's a good sensation. You take a shower. Hot shower, nice sensation. It's a spirit, it's a thing. So when you wash your hands, you say a bracha, al tal yadayim. And you have to appreciate this, the blessing on the sense of feeling clean. Imagine. What a brilliant invention. The rabbis were brilliant. You know, they made a bracha on washing hands. Otherwise, people wouldn't wash hands. Think about it. People wouldn't wash hands. So many Jews survived the black plague only because they washed hands. But the Christians killed them anyway because they said, oh, they caused the bad plague. The Jews are not dying. They must have caused the plague. So every sense, there are blessings. All our senses. It's amazing. All the senses that we have. There's even a bracha on brains. We say in the Shemona Esrei, Baruch Atah Hashem, Chonen Hadat. Gave a man brains. Thank God for brains. Without brains, where would we be? We wouldn't be able to think. Doesn't just be a robot. We have the ability to think. And we have the ability of wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is discovery. Man has the capacity to discover new things. That's amazing. That's Chokhmah. Bina is the ability to apply the discovery. So I have the discovery. What do I do with it? There's a big disconnect between the university's research and applications and industry. So the whole idea is to try and connect the two. The discovery in the lab, and how do you make money out of the discovery? So now the industry and the labs are now trying to connect themselves because the colleges are doing research. That's the Chokhmah. And how do you apply that research to modern day life, to real life? That's Bina, the application. That's what women are very good at. Women are very good at applying. Men are very good at the theory. Yeah, I can tell you what the recipe is going to be, but I don't know how to do it. And then the highest level is Da'at. Da'at is to distinguish between two different things. To the ability to distinguish between this and this. They look the same. What's the difference between a metal and a polymer? Between plastic and metal. Or is it glass and metal? So that's the ability to distinguish. And that's what Gemara is all about. Gemara is all about distinguishing different things. So three different levels of brains. We have very fortunate, we're lucky. We have Chokhmah, Bina, Da'at. We have different levels of thinking. So some people are very good at distinctions, but they're not very good at discovery. Some people are very good at application, not good at discovery. Some people are good at discovery. Einstein is very good at discovery, but he did not apply. He couldn't wear his socks. He didn't know where his socks were. He would walk around without socks. Very famous. Good thing he had a wife who would look after him. So can you imagine, there's so many things we have to be thankful for. And that itself is an art. the art is being thankful. And that's what we have see today. A lot of children are spoiled brats. They're spoiled brats, and they don't know how to say thank you. So they take whatever their parents give, and they expect more. They expect more.
It's not their fault, it's the parents' fault.
Well, whatever it is, I'm just saying, they're raised in a certain way that they're not raised to appreciate. They're not raised to appreciate. So how do you raise your children with the attitude of appreciation? It's called an attitude of gratitude. And the answer is to teach them to say please and thank you. That's number one. You have to just, even though they don't really want to say please. But once they start getting into please, they realize, oh, I have to say please. Why do I have to say please? Because I can't take for granted. And I say thank you because I don't take for granted. Yes.
But a lot of kids today, I guess when they, you know, hang out amongst each other, feel that they're entitled.
Right, exactly. That's exactly the point.
They're entitled for their parents to pay for this.
Exactly. I agree. That's the problem. That is the problem we're talking about. And that's why we have to teach our children an attitude of gratitude. How do we teach our children attitude of gratitude? The Torah gives us the tools by saying a blessing before and a blessing after. So before, it's like saying please. I mean, everything we get in this world, I mean, that's something we have to teach our children. Everything we get in this world, I see an apple on the table, I want to eat it. First, you have to appreciate that God created the apple.
I had to take away my son's car in college because he had no gratitude.
Exactly.
That I supplied
exactly.
him. He got parking tickets galore.
That's the point.
And I said to myself, well, the only way that I could correct this situation is to take it away from him.
100%. I agree with you. And that's the point.
I felt bad.
That's the point, exactly. The point exactly is if we're not grateful to God, he takes it away. Exactly the point. Same issue. We have to be grateful. We have to say thank you. And when we're grateful and thank you, Hashem says, oh, you're grateful, and you say thank you, I'll give you more. And that is really a very important technique. Is the gratitude is very important. So we have to learn gratitude. We have to teach our children gratitude. And it's interesting, the more you give the child, the less they appreciate. And you think they appreciate more, but it's the other way around. Children who grew up with very little are very appreciative of whatever they get. But children who grew up with a lot, and they, you know, it's very hard to appreciate because you get it without doing anything. You get something with no energy and no effort, very little appreciation. But if you earn it with your sweat, then you appreciate it. So it's very important. And that's what the blessings are for. The blessings are for to inculcate in us. Don't take it for granted. And that's why we pray for things that we have already. It's interesting. Person's healthy, pray for health. Why? Don't take it for granted. It's an insurance policy. Pray for something you have. Person has wealth, pray for wealth. Why? But I have it already. Yeah, but you can lose it. So we pray for things that we already have, and we pray for things that we don't have. We have to pray all the time, constant. It's constant. We cannot do without God. We have to realize that we cannot do without God. And that's why the first word on your mouth when you wake up is Modeh, thank you. Modeh ani lefanecha. The first prayer in the prayer book is thank you, Hashem, thank you. And the last word before a person sleeps is Emet, truth. We pray to God, Biyadcha avkid ruchi, in your hands I will deposit my soul. Redeem me, Hashem, because you are the God of truth. So it's very interesting that we started with thanks and we end off with truth. That's a Jewish day. The Jewish day starts off with thanks and ends off with truth. So we have to, that's really what blessings are all about. Blessings are this idea of inculcating into a person an attitude of gratitude. And it's important to teach our children also to be grateful. So children have to be grateful to their parents. And that's the basis of the fifth commandment. Why is Kibud Avayim such an important mitzvah? And the answer is because it's teaching you a midah, a midot, the trait of gratitude. A person says, I'm not grateful to my parents. They don't have that trait. How can they, if you can't be grateful to your parents, how can you be grateful to God? Because God is our celestial parent. You have to practice on someone. So it's interesting. That's really the basis of all these blessings. The basis of the blessings are to appreciate. To appreciate something. We appreciate that we're created. Thank God, you know. God didn't have to create us. He didn't have to create us. He was perfect. God does not need us. Comes as a shock to some people. God doesn't need me? Ah! Well, he doesn't need anything. God doesn't need anything. God is self-sufficient. by definition. God is totally self-sufficient, so why did he create us? He wants to do kindness, the rabbi said. He wants to do kindness. He's altruistic, he's generous. He wants to give. If he wants to give, we have to appreciate God wants to give. Thank you, Hashem, for wanting to give. And that's why we say that's how we preface our blessing. Baruch atah Hashem. Blessed are you, Hashem. What do you mean, blessed are you, Hashem? God does not need blessing. You are the source of all blessing, God. God is the source of all blessing. We have to talk about it. We have to praise God in public. We have to, blessed are you, Hashem. So can you imagine, sometimes people get embarrassed by saying a bracha in public. Or they're saying, wait, they're saying, blessed are you, Hashem. You know, most people don't understand what they're saying anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. But if you go to Israel, it's so hard. That's why some Israelis, it's hard for them to be religious. Because when they say it, they understand what it means, and they have to really believe what they're saying. Otherwise, they're telling what it is. That's why it's much harder. It's much easier to say a blessing when you don't understand it. Because the significance to you is lost. But when you understand what you're saying, and you say it, it's much more effective.
By my grandson's bar mitzvah, by his bris, so those were all secular people. So when the rabbi made the blessing, I said amen after it, and he looked up from all the people, and he said, thank you. he was so in shock, like that somebody would, you know, say amen after his blessing.
Yeah, Baruch Hashem, people forgot. People don't even know about amen anymore. It's amazing. Even the Christians know amen. They know amen. They got it from us. But the Jews, unfortunately. So that's why we need more education. We need more education. We need to reach out. I'm going to finish off with this nice idea I heard from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the name of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, the first Korban Pesach. How do they have to eat the first Korban Pesach? So it says, interesting, you cannot learn the laws of Korban Pesach from the Pesach in Egypt. Pesach in Egypt had certain special laws which do not apply the rest of the time. So it says, you will eat it with a belt. You have to be belted. You put your belt on. But Nechem Hagurim, you have to have your belt on. You have to understand, those days, until today, you see some people wear belts, special belts before they pray. A gatel, they wear a special belt before they pray. What's the idea behind it? In those days, the men had long cloaks. Very long. And you see, if you go to Arab countries, they still wear, it's called a jalabiya. They still wear this long garment. And without a belt, you cannot walk. You'll trip over it. So you have to have a belt. You have to be ready to go, the belt. Number two, he says, is you need your shoes on your feet. Which is very unusual, because when you want to relax, you take off your shoes. So you can imagine having this festive meal, say they're in Egypt, and you have to be ready to move. You have to have your belt on, you have to wear your shoes, and you have to have your staff in your hand. Three things they have to do when they're eating. Imagine you have your Korban Pesach, you're eating your festive meals, your barbecue, and you have to have your belt, which most people loosen their belt when they eat, the men at least. And number two is, you got to wear your shoes when I want to take off my shoes and relax. No relaxing. You eat this meal when you're ready to go. And your staff in your hand. Hey, I'm eating with one hand now. Because I got my staff in my hand. So what's going on? So he says, we need to be able to, Jews, have to, number one, you have to be ready yourself. You have to strengthen yourself. That's the belt. The belt is a sign of Gevura. You have to strengthen yourself to survive as a Jew. That's number one. Number two is, you have to wear your shoes. What do you mean, wear your shoes? To wear your shoes to be able to approach other people, to help them to become religious. And number three is, a staff is even further reach. Even you can't reach yourself, you have a staff to reach out, which is like PR. So that's an interesting idea of being ready. You yourself have to be ready, that's a belt. You have to be able to reach other people, which is your shoes. And even people you can't reach, you have to have a staff to be able to reach them. So we have to spread the word. And the importance of the bracha, so Bezrat Hashem, we'll see more people next week. Rose, please send out the announcement. But we had a class, and no problem, we're going to...